Luke chapter 14. And it came to pass, as he went into the house of one of the chief Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath day, that they watched him. And behold, there was a certain man before him which had the dropsy. And Jesus answering spake unto the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? And they held their peace. And he took him, and healed him, and let him go. And answered them, saying, Which of you shall have an ass or an ox fallen into a pit, and will not straightway pull him out on the Sabbath day? And they could not answer him again to these things. So Jesus has been called forth to the house of one of the chief Pharisees. They're watching him, and there's a guy there in front of him who has the dropsy. And I was like, dropsy, what does this mean? I had to look it up, and dropsy is edema, which is an abnormal accumulation of fluid in certain cells of the body. In any case, the question of the day is, once again, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? Jesus' contention, of course, is yes. And as I said before, we find it, I think these days, a strange thing. An odd question to be caught up on. And it almost seems unbelievable. But it was something they were caught up on because it was an important religious issue. Because the Sabbath, keeping the Sabbath, was one of the Ten Commandments. And therefore, how one should keep the Sabbath was a very important issue. You know, in Christianity, we have a totally different understanding of the Sabbath from the way the Jews understand it. In Christianity, we enter into his rest by ceasing from our own works as he ceased from his. And we take it in the spirit of the law, as opposed to the letter of the law. I don't observe a particular day as the Sabbath, but today I can enter into his rest. If I will enter into his rest, today I can have it. Anyways, Jesus heals this man, and his argument is that if an ox or an animal of yours falls into a pit on the Sabbath day, you rescue it, don't you? Which one of you is going to leave his ox in a pit on the Sabbath day? You know, say, oh, well, I guess he's dead. You know, and that's the way people are. People are inhuman to man. You know, there are people who are much kinder to animals than they ever are towards their fellow men. And it's a disgrace. It really is. You know, because they'll do things out of compassion for animals, and then when they look at humans, they'll say, well, they've got to suffer. We can be so merciless to our fellow men, and at the same time turn around and show mercy to animals. You know, we look at them and, oh, they're helpless. We pity them. Well, Jesus is looking at man and pitying man. He's pitying this man with this disease. And he's going to heal him, whatever the day, who doesn't qualify as servile labor. And what the Pharisees have a very strict letter of the law interpretation of what any kind of work would be. Even the working of miracles, you know, they've decided that is a work. You know, somewhere, you know how this came about, somewhere back in the past, this is how traditions work, somewhere in the back of the past, hypothetically, the question came up, well, what? Would a man of God, what about a man of God? Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? Is it lawful to do miracles on the Sabbath day? And then some rabbi sat there thinking, and then they reasoned with each other. They said, well, a real man of God would honor the Sabbath day and heal on another day. You know, a real man of God would honor the Sabbath because that's God's law, and he would heal some other time. And they decided that that's what a man of God would do. They've already answered the question for themselves of what a man of God ought to do when it comes to these sort of things. Perhaps. I definitely think that's a very plausible idea because that is how they perverted God's word, was by their traditions. So that traditional interpretation becomes the truth to them. And so anyone who comes up against it is automatically in violation of the truth. You know, full well you reject the commandment of God that you may hold your tradition. And this isn't so much a rejection of the commandment of God as a misinterpretation of it. Verse 7. And he put forth a parable to those which were bidden, when he marked how they chose the chief rooms, saying unto them, When thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, sit not down at the highest room, lest a more honorable man than thou be bidden of him. And he that bade thee and him come and say to thee, Give this man place. And thou begin with shame to take the lowest room. But when thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest room. that when he that bade thee cometh, he may say unto thee, Friend, go up higher. Then shalt thou have worship in the presence of them that sit at meat with thee. For whoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Worship here should be translated glory. You'll have glory in the presence of them that sit at meat with thee. Because they would see that, oh wow, they brought you up. The Lord of the feast has raised you from a lower table because you're important. You look important because he felt necessary to change your position. This reminds me of the things Jesus said about many that are last shall be first and first last. A lot of times people take the first seats and they sit in the most important places. You know, right now in the church there are people who have appointed themselves leaders. You know, right now there's someone who considers themselves the most important minister in America. And you look on television, there you have a lot of people sitting in the chief places, standing in front of everyone and telling everyone what's what. And when Christ comes, what is he going to do? He is going to put them in their place. And at once they'll have to, you know, everyone else is jockeying for position and suddenly they're cast out of their top places down to the bottom. Many that are first shall be last. And many sitting at the bottom, God is going to exalt. Whoever exalts himself shall be abased. He that humbleth himself shall be exalted. That is the way God works. God wants us to humble ourselves. He wants us, you know, to take this humble view of ourselves and look at ourselves as being no great thing and taking no great position for ourselves, taking no great name to ourselves. That's the meaning of this parable, simply that people exalt themselves. God is going to take them down a notch, several notches, no doubt. He's going to bring them down. God resists the proud. He gives grace to the humble. You can imagine the shame, and when you take that position, then all of a sudden you're saying, no, no, no. That's for someone else. You sit, I guess, down there. And you go down to the lowest place. Verse 12. Then said he also to him that bade him, When thou makest a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends, nor thy brethren, neither thy kinsmen, nor thy rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee again, and a recompense be made thee. But when thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind. And thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee. For thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. Jesus Christ believes in the resurrection. As he says in another place, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, he shall yet live. But he offers this wealthy man a piece of advice. When you make a dinner,